We've all been listening to President Obama and other leaders in Dallas in the last hour or so, honoring lives cut short by gun violence. The Dallas victims were five police officers killed by a man who said he wanted revenge for the killings of African Americans by police. Well, beyond memorial services, what can we do now to heal this relationship between police and the people they serve and protect? I asked Seattle's former police chief, Norm Stamper, that question. He has a new book called Protect and Serve, How to Fix America's Police.
This problem, frankly, goes all the way back to the beginning of the institution, and it's no surprise to many in the African-American community what's happening. What's different today, of course, is cell phone video technology and dash cams and people being able to see in living color and sound as well, what's actually taken place. If they read about those accounts in the newspaper, it might say something like a police officer made a routine traffic stop and a gun was revealed and shots were fired and people wind up saying, well, you know, it's a dangerous occupation and it's a tragedy, but, you know, I sort of understand what happened out there. You don't pull a gun on a police officer. And I think what people saw last week was anything but people pulling guns on police officers.
Well, now we're arguing, among other things, over how common those kind of incidents are. Is this an endemic problem? What's your take on the situation, the relationship between police and communities of color right now?
Well, one of the problems with my local friends is that when I talk about police, I am talking about police on a national scope. And I am definitely referring to and having in mind many of these controversial shootings. The Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, Tamir Rice, lonely 12-year-old boy on a snowy field in Cleveland, the Laquan McDonald shooting in Chicago, the Walter Scott shooting in North Charleston, South Carolina. These are all shootings that could have been prevented. And I think for the most part, you're going to find police officers in Seattle and police officers in other cities that have been mindful about use of force and lethal force and done training around it, avoiding those kinds of mistakes. Now, I think most of those mistakes are the result of fear. We don't acknowledge fear very much in police work, but it's a reality, and we need to do a much better job, I think, of conditioning officers to deal with their own fears.
We're talking with the former police chief of the Seattle Police Department, Norm Stamper. Why would fear not be something that police professionally address and work on all the time?
That's a really good question. And in fact, why would we, given that reality, why would we not be emphasizing de-escalation skills to help reduce fear, help reduce anger, help reduce tension in the moment? I'm in Los Angeles speaking to you from a hotel room right now, and as I cabbed in from the airport on Sunday, the cab driver said, what are you in town for? And I told him I was on a book tour, and he said, what's the subject? And I told him, and he said, oh, look, I've been a cab driver or a bartender my whole life. And he said, one of the things I learned really early on was the opportunity to wind up in a fist fight, in an instance of road rage, to wind up alienating my passengers or my customers and so forth. And he said, I learned very early on, he used the word, to de-escalate these things. And he almost turned in his seat and said, how come you don't teach that to police officers? And I said, well, we do. But on average throughout the country, we spend about 60 hours on firearms and 8 hours, if that, on de-escalation skills. And when you think about it, at the heart of what it means to be a police officer and the role of the police officer is de-escalation. You're going to be encountering people not at their best, pretty much every single day. You're going to be dealing with people who are under the influence, either of alcohol or other drugs, or maybe rage or jealousy or insecurity. There are lots and lots of reasons why people are not themselves when the police are interacting with them. And if a police officer can understand that, develop empathy, which I think is going on in the State Academy there in Washington, in a pretty extraordinary way. I think they've got the model for the country. But de-escalation skills are central to what police officers do or should be doing. And yet we see time and time again in these controversial videos, police officers who are quickly resorting to lethal force when, in fact, slowing things down, speaking calmly, exhibiting maturity and confidence, and not this sort of out-of-control sense that I see in police officers who are screaming at the top of their lungs and basically exhibiting fear. Police officers simply need to be in control of their own emotions. And what I've seen around the country in some of these instances is some, you know, police officers who are not.
You sound like the voice of wisdom right now, Norm Stamper. Was there a time where you made a serious policing mistake?
Well, as recently as my last months on the job at the WTO.
In Seattle.
I characterized that as the worst mistake of my career, authorizing the use of tear gas against nonviolent and indeed non-threatening protesters. The cop in me endorsed that decision, blessed it, believed in it 5 years into retirement, and over time, just opening myself up to criticism and listening to what people had to say, I came to the realization that our actions on Tuesday of that tumultuous week actually triggered much of what we saw on the streets that was so unsettling. But I've made mistakes throughout my career. Dating back to my earliest days as a rookie cop, I've acknowledged this in my previous book, I abused the very people I had been hired to protect and serve. The power went right to my head. The badge was heavy on my chest. If we can recognize that police officers are capable of going about their day-to-day business in a friendly or at least approachable fashion, smile never hurts, acting human never hurts, and interacting with the people as if those people paid their salaries, which in fact they do, we can accomplish a tremendous improvement in police community relations.
You know, I haven't heard you put any blame on individuals who get caught up with the police. What do you say to someone who listens to this, maybe a police colleague of yours, and says, wait, don't let criminals off the hook here? That's doing people no favors.
Well, they're absolutely right. I am a very firm believer that the police are here to stop people from hurting other people, that they are here to, working with their communities, achieve a level of public safety that allows families to let their children play out in their neighborhoods. They are here to put an end to the open-air drug markets, to the drive-by shootings, to the home invasion robberies. Police work is extremely delicate, demanding, sometimes dangerous, and ultimately it's vital to the interests of public safety. So I don't believe in letting people off for having committed criminal acts. I do believe that we can be much smarter on the front of U.S. drug policy. I do believe that we can be much smarter in inviting our citizens into an authentic partnership with the police to achieve public safety. But in the end, do the crime, do the time. People need to be held responsible and accountable. And that's every one of us, those of us in police work and those out there in the communities.
There's a proposal to make it easier to prosecute a police officer over use of deadly force in the line of duty so that prosecutors wouldn't have to show the officer acted with malice. That's quite a high bar, and virtually no one gets prosecuted that way in Washington State now. What do you think of lowering that standard?
I support it. Washington State has the toughest barrier for prosecuting a police officer in the case of an unlawful shooting. I also support prosecutorial discretion in weighing and evaluating the circumstances, all circumstances involved in a police shooting. Police officers need to feel free to use that amount of force necessary to protect life or to overcome resistance of somebody who is battling them, for example, when they're being arrested. But they're not entitled to use excessive force. And when the excessive force is lethal force, it creates an enormous pressure on the police, on the prosecutor, on everyone else to do an accurate, thorough investigation and let the chips fall where they may.
That was Norm Stamper. He was the chief of the police in Seattle from 1994 to 2000. His new book is called To Protect and Serve, How to Fix America's Police.